You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. As we always say, we greet all of you wherever you are on the radio. If you're at home by yourself with the radio, if you're in your car, wherever, are you listening on the internet? We just greet all of you and we welcome you to our program. It's an honor to be on WCNO Radio. We have been for over 17 years. And so just avail yourselves of what we're going to talk about here today. And we trust that some things will be dropped into your heart, maybe that you will understand maybe some deeper things in the Word of God, and that you'll want to walk a closer walk with Him. And that's what it's all about. We need more of Him and less of us. And so we greet you as always. We thank you for listening in. It's a privilege to be here, as we said. So we just come before the Lord before we came on this program and pray that you all that are listening would be blessed and touched and stirred and all that. And so we thank you for listening in. We do offer CDs or tapes of the program, whatever we discussed today. If you'd like to get a copy of that, that's available for a love offering. And Don and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart. God gave us a name way back 21 years ago, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. So if you'd like to avail yourselves of a tape or a CD, all you have to do is make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail it to Post Office Box 413, and that's in Stuart, Florida, and our zip is 34995. Tell us the date, the program that you want, and we'll be glad to get it out to you.
Amen.
So we're honored to be here with you. So have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to you today as well, because we're coming into an important season. We're already in that season now. And Israel, especially, during that time as well. But before we get into the teaching today, my dear wife across the table with me has got a couple announcements to make about what we're doing here. And this is a great outreach ministry of Spirit of Prophecy Ministry. We get more calls, more people come to visit and offer this radio program than anything else we've done. And so we just thank God for the privilege to be able to do that. And the finances continue to come in. And so we thank you. You know, this program's not free. And so if you just be led even to give an offering, even if you're not wanting to receive anything, just to help the ministry, it would be greatly appreciated. God will honor you, and He will also honor the ministry here as well.
Amen.
So here's
Amen.
My beautiful wife, Donna.
Thank you, Lord. Also, it's a blessing to be on the radio program, WCNO, mm-hmm. so keep them in prayer as well. And WCNO is on the internet 24/7, so
That's
you
right.
can go and you can listen to this teaching and also other teachings that we've done and other people have done. By just going on your to the internet to WCNO.com. And if you're looking for Raising the Standard, this podcast, just go to Saturday and look for Raising the Standard, and you'll see Gene Hilton there. And just you can listen to a number of different teachings that we have done over the last couple of years. So we're blessed to be here.
Amen. Amen.
And like Pastor said, we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m., and we have Friday night service at 7 p.m.
A good Shabbat, amen.
Shabbat, amen. And so we spend time, have communion that night, and we do other things as well. You know, have a regular service and meet with God and spend some time seeking God's presence. And then on Saturday, we have, today we'll have a video.
Amen.
It's about Israel, the miracles that happened in Israel.
Against All Odds, it's called.
Against All Odds. It's awesome. A series of CDs and or DVDs, right?
DVDs, yeah.
DVDs. So that's going to be at 4 o'clock this afternoon if you'd like to come and listen to and watch those DVDs. So, praise God. I'm going to give our phone number in a second. We want to say hello to you, our friends, and those out there that are praying for us. We thank you for your prayers. They're much needed in this day and this hour because
sure
you know, the enemy has been released in many, many ways.
He's working overtime.
And he's working overtime to draw God's people away from the Lord.
Yeah.
We've seen this all the time. People are being drawn by the enemy. There's stumbling blocks that are being put in people's path. And what does it do? It's causing them to get further away. Maybe they don't want to get further away, but there's life situations and things that happen. And you know, we tell people, we have to look to the Lord first before we deal with all these other situations, because we have to go to Him and He will help us through all these problems and life situations that are going on, you know, with family, with work. I mean, you could go on and on
sure
and on.
Sure can.
With ministry, even in ministry, we have situations we have to deal with. So we have to first seek the Lord, counsel of men is good when we need to do that, but we got to seek the Lord and see what He wants.
He should have the final say, shouldn't he, amen?
Definitely, to have the final say.
That's right.
So we want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks over
Hallelujah,
on,
bless
uh-huh,
you.
on in the Bahamas on Andros Island, and they have the Temple of God over there. And if there's any of the Temple of God people listening, we say hello to you as well. And we pray for you, and we just thank the Lord for you, amen, and for many others that listen to us in different places around the who knows where, you know, because this radio program goes everywhere around the world. You know, whoever would thought that, you know, I would
That's
never
right.
have thought that.
That's right.
But you
just
know, God
by using a computer.
God takes care of it, amen. So if you're interested, and you'd like to have some more, you'd like to have a calendar. This is a new month. This is the month of
Elul.
And so the new calendar's out, and you can call us, and we'd be glad to send you a new calendar. And also, we're still offering the calendar,
the circle calendar.
It's the prophetic calendar. Just give us a call, or you can send an envelope, a self-stamped envelope, and we'd be glad to mail it to you.
Several people's already done that. We've taken care of that.
Amen. So praise the Lord. So our telephone number here in Stuart, Florida, is area code 772-285-7007. I'll do it again. Area code 772-285-7007.
That's
007.
Right.
007. We're 007 agents. Amen.
So we're honored to be here with you. So we mentioned last week that we're in a month now, the month of Elul, which is the sixth month on God's prophetic calendar. It's interesting. Man's number is six. And so this is an important time in Israel right now for the Jewish people, because this is a time called Teshuvah, which means to return. We're going to talk about that a little bit.
To return to the Lord.
And
many of them are returning to the land, and we to return to the Lord, but there are many people returning to the land. And I think once you get back on the land, you know, it's going to be, especially for a Jewish person, once they get back, and there's so many Jewish people that have never been to Israel even, which is so awesome.
That's right.
But once you step on the land, you know, we see pictures. A lot of times, people kiss the land,
kiss the ground.
Well,
there's
something about standing in a place of their life, their history, you know, their heritage, you know, where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was at, and the promises that God gave Abraham. You know, just returning to the land, I think that's going to draw people, especially Jewish people, back to the truth, the Word of God.
So we pray this month. If you go to Israel, they have a lot of secular Jews over there that they live just like the world does. So we need to pray that they'll be touched at this time, and something will happen. God will use people, places, things in advance to bring them to that place to understand, hey, I need God more than anything that I'm doing in this world right now. And so
right.
I was over there several years ago at Purim, went down on the beach there in Tel Aviv, and it's just like any beach here, you know, the way they dress and the way they talk and
worldly
drinking on the beach and all that. And so we need to have all of them to come, because God wants them all to come. And so this season we're talking about now is called Teshuvah, and it is the sixth month on the Jewish calendar, which is very important. And it's a month before the month of Tishri, when all these things will come down to a conclusion. So we think about the word Teshuvah. I was thinking about this morning. I wrote a note down on this several years ago. It comes from a Hebrew word pronounced shuv. spelled S-H-U-V. And this is what it means in the Hebrew. It means there's a movement back to the point of departing, return to the starting point. Okay, so we got a lot of maybe secular Jews that maybe walked with God at one time to the best of their ability, and they walked away. Well, they have to return. But the interesting thing, there's a lot of Jews in Israel that have never really approached the Lord that way. They were brought up maybe in a secular family and all that. And so we're just asking God, by the Spirit of God, to have an experience with those, give those people, I should say, an experience during this time, these 30 days of Teshuvah, which is the month of Elul, and they'll come back, because there's some interesting things going to happen one day in the future at the end of those days. But I wanted to mention this too, as we start up front here. In Judaism, this is what they believe now, with all their understanding of the scriptures. All things are judged on Rosh Hashanah, which is trumpets. So remember, Teshuvah is the 30 days prior to trumpets or Rosh Hashanah, leads up to that day. And then, of course, they understand that everybody's fate one day at the end of Jacob's trouble will be sealed on a day called Yom Kippur, which is, you know, the 10th day of the month of Tishri. And so it's a very important time, and so we have to comprehend some of this before maybe we talk about this in a little deeper way. But all of this, God's showing the Jewish people, and he has for years, about returning to him. So most of the places in the Bible, when you see the word return, you got to look at the ABCs, you know, always based on context. You got to see what's being said. But when you see something about turning back to God, it's the word teshuva in the Hebrew. And I'm looking at one place I was reading today. I went to the book of Lamentations, because let me tell you, Jeremiah was in great anguish seeing what happened. He prophesied for years and warned them what was going to come, and they didn't listen. And so I went over and looked at this a little bit, and in chapter 3 of Lamentations it says this: Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? We have a lot of things being said today that maybe not necessarily true from God, but people think it is. And so we got to know how to hear from God and understand what God's saying. Then verse 38 says, Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth what? Not evil and good. He's not going to have evil and good at the same time, is he? Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Now listen to this. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. There's your word teshuvah, to return, to come back. I think about the teaching we did about the last two prophetic days over there in Hosea chapter 5. Verse 15 and then 6, 1 through 4. It says over there, let us return again. It's talking about to teshuva, to come back to the Lord. And if they don't, things were going to happen the bad way, right? So we think about this. Israel went through all this time. The prophet spoke for hundreds of years, several hundred years, about what was going to happen if they didn't change. And they got into sin, idolatry, and all the rest of the things that they got involved with. Well, Jeremiah, you know, he really laid it out. And remember, and they got so mad at him, they put him in a dungeon and all the things that happened to him. And he finally said, well, Lord, I'm not going to say another word. I've had it. These people are just persecuting me so bad. But and remember, the scripture says that God's word was like a fire in his bones, and he couldn't hold it back. He had to speak it out. And so he did. Well, the little book of Lamentations here.
Well, they were bound to do evil.
Sure.
And God hates mixture.
He sure does.
And we've been, even in our church, you know, in our services, God has been talking, and because we're a prophetic church, and we pray in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You know, and God brings forth prophetic words. Mm-hmm. You know, that's God wants that to happen in church. He wants, and it really shouldn't be church. We call it church, you know, but it's a fellowship. It's coming
Ecclesia.
Together. It's meeting with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord God Almighty. And so when we do that, you know, he's the great I am. We've been talking about God's names.
That's,
you know,
right.
And his names are so powerful and so important. And so we come together to meet with God. Amen. And so when God has been speaking to us through prophetic words and through the music and the song and, you know, the singing in the spirit is so powerful, and praying in the Holy Ghost. And, you know, and what he's bringing out during that time of worship. You know, there's a time for praise and then there's a time for worship. And
that's
worship
right.
is when you're in the Holy of Holies. And so many people want to stay out of the Holy of Holies. Well, you know what? They can't even come into the Holy of Holies because there's a mixture, what you're just talking about.
That's
and
right.
God hates mixture.
Good
you can't
and evil,
go
yeah.
into the Holy of Holies with the mixture. You know, you will, people that feel the presence and the holiness of the Lord, if they are living in sin and they want to live a mixed life, they think the one foot in Sunday in church and another foot in a bar, you know, or doing the wrong thing. It doesn't even have to be in a bar. It could be
anywhere.
Anywhere, just sin,
that's right.
just general sin. agreeing with the enemy, And when they want to live that life of mixture, you can't go into the Holy of Holies. But God's calling us to be holy people.
Yes, Lord.
And he's calling the Jews to come back, to return. But he's also calling the church to return, the body of Christ to return to the truth and to holiness. Because the Bible says that we can go boldly before the throne of God. The veil has been rent. God tore that veil from top to bottom. When
That's
Jesus
right.
died at 3 in the afternoon,
Amen.
He ripped that veil. And so God says there's no other way except
right.
by Yeshua, by the blood of Jesus, to go into the Holy of Holies.
Thank
but, you,
you
know, I think about so many people we know and we minister to, and they have problems and life problems, and it's just self. You know, you got to die to self. If you don't die to self, then, you know, you can't live for God completely. So it's not an easy thing to do that, but it's giving up. It's giving up some of the things that we've got so many pleasures here in this country, and maybe they're not all sin, but maybe some of them are sin. You know, we have... Or is greed and pride and so many things that people desire that to have more than they desire to have God.
That's right. It's incredible.
So he doesn't like mixture.
Sure doesn't.
And he won't tolerate mixture. You know, he takes, God is gracious and he gives us time to repent. He gives us time to return.
That's
but
right.
you know, when God's timetable runs to a, and it's getting close, runs out the dispensation of a certain time, where he's going to do something new, something different.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's not going to hold back his time just for because we want him to. You know, when it's time for him to come catch us away, that's when he's going to come. So we need to be ready all the time, don't we?
That's right.
And so even with our daily lives, we need to always be ready.
That's right.
Always be ready. And so when there's mixture in the church, or mixture in, like even over here in Israel, mixture of things. They're not doing everything the way God says for them to do it.
There's a lot of good there. There's a lot of evil there also. So
our prayer is not only for Israel. I mean, the Shabbat is today. And so we always have Shabbat, and we always pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God commands us to do that. You know, we have not replaced Israel.
That's
and some
sure.
of the churches...
Are teaching
believe that,
that.
We've replaced that. You know, the body of Christ has replaced Israel. We have not replaced Israel, but God is, people are returning to Israel, and we can see that. If we're blind, if we don't see it,
that's right,
or and we don't hear it,
mm-hmm.
But people are returning to the land. So people need to return to the Lord. It's not just the land they're going to return to, but we have the Holy Ghost in us, and we need to allow the Holy Spirit in us to build us that holy temple, so that because we are what he said, we're supposed to be holy, right?
That's right.
Be holy,
like I am holy.
Like I am holy is what
right.
God said. So God expects
us
to be holy, and it's not by the letter of the law, but it's by the spirit of
Amen.
The law that's written on our heart that we can walk in the spirit and order our lives in the spirit and live by the spirit. Well, they had trouble doing that, didn't they?
That's right.
There was a mixture, and so he was pretty upset.
That's
but,
right.
But, you know, God had a fire, and I think God has a fire in a lot of preachers today, amen, and a lot of individuals. But they can't be quiet. The enemy's not going to keep my mouth shut.
That's right.
And that's how he was, right?
He has his word. He tells us what to do and what not to do, and he expects us to do it. Well, this book, this Lamentations that Jeremiah wrote, well, think about it. He went through all this terrible time. He was crying out. He was a weeping prophet. What happened?
Mm-hmm.
And so he was telling people to, let's search and try our ways, and we might turn or teshuva back to the Lord. And
he had a fire.
He did.
He had a fire in his bones.
So you read Lamentations, all the things that they did, and you know, and because of what their sin and their debauchery and all that, what happened? They were put into captivity for 70 years. And so God didn't want to do that, but he did that because of their sin. And so this is a good time for Israel right now and the people in Israel to think about it. And they're going through this from now on till the end of the month, of the month of Elul. They're examining themselves. They want to get right with God because they know one day in the future there'll be the last year of Jacob's trouble, and it's all going to come down to a conclusion. And so they want to examine themselves, but we got to think about this. They think they can get totally right with God by keeping all the commandments and crossing the T's and dotting the I's. That's just legalistically doing things. But they can't really have true true teshuva and all until what? They come back and come to understand that Yeshua is the one.
That's right.
And, you know, he came the first time.
He is God.
And they ignored that. They missed their day of visitation. Well, now he's wanting to remember and think back. And he's getting ready to come back for them again. So his purpose is they'll all come to Yeshua, and then they can walk into this holy place that we're talking about. And they'll do that. And they'll be in anguish about their sins. And so we think about even today, how they live over there. Well, a lot of them, they claim to know God, but they don't really walk with God. And so I was thinking today a little bit about a few things here about this time called Teshuvah. Let's think about this for a moment before I do this. When we read in the scriptures, when this date is mentioned in the month of Elul, maybe the first day of the sixth month or whatever, it was always referring to something about the temple being restored. Now, we're talking about a physical temple in those days, okay? But you and I, as believers now, we don't wait to Teshuvah to restore our temple and to cleanse it out and make sure it's pure in every arena. But we see some examples here if we look at the scriptures. I'm going to go over to the book of Ezekiel with you. And if we go to chapter 8, I believe it is, let's just look at this. This gives you the time here. All right. Ezekiel chapter 8. Now, this is when Ezekiel was speaking to the people over there. He was taken to Jerusalem in a vision, and he saw all this where they were looking. He was looking through the walls of the temple, and they had graffiti written on the walls. They were worshiping Tammuz. They were doing all these things. It was an abomination to God. And so it starts off, it tells you when this all begins. And so he was warning them what? To return to the Lord. That's what this is all about. And they'll be sad, and they'll want to come back to the Lord. They were worshiping the sun and all these things. Well, chapter 8, verse 1 of Ezekiel says this, and it came to pass in the sixth year, this is the sixth year of their captivity now, in what? The sixth month. This is the month of Elul that we're in right now, in the fifth day of the month. Well, today's the fifth, or the fourth. Tomorrow will be the fifth day of Elul. And he says, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord fell there upon me. And then he had this huge vision, and he saw the glory of God of Israel was there, and he saw all these incredible things. Now I'm going to go over to the little book of it's a big prophet, but it's called a little book by most people. I'm going to go over to the book of Haggai with you, if you can turn over there with me real easy. I should have left my book here, my Bible, but I'm going to go to Haggai with you. Now let's look at a couple of verses here. Verse 1 says this in the book of Haggai. It says, in the second year of Darius, this was spoken around 520 BC. The second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, this is what, the month of Elul that we're in right now, in the first day of the month again, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. So this is talking again, what? About restoring the house of God. In Ezekiel, he was declaring that they were tearing down the house, and he wanted it to be stopped. You know, that's what they were destroying, what God put in place. Now, if we look also here in verse, I think it's 15. Yeah, look at verse 15 of Haggai 1. It says, in the 24th day of the sixth month, we're still in the month of Elul, in the second year of Darius the king. So these are only a couple of places we have where it's actually mentioned in the Bible about the sixth day, or I should say the sixth month in a particular day. But this time of Elul is so important because the Jews know that one day in the future, because Jacob's trouble's coming, that there's going to be a judgment that comes. And I just mentioned a moment ago, in Judaism, they believe that on Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, remember it's 1 or 2 days, that all things will be judged on that at that time. And then if they don't change on that next 10 days, as we always talk about, the last 10 days of Jacob's trouble, when Yom Kippur comes on that end of Jacob's trouble, their fate will be sealed. And the Jews understand this. They understand and believe that there's three books that are written, or not written, that are in place, that God put in place, although he did write it in heaven. There's three books that they're going to be judged on. And they look at this every single year during the month of Elul leading up to what? To the Feast of Trumpets. They want to get right with God. We keep emphasizing they can't get right without having Yeshua. But we can understand the principle in all this. And so we have a wonderful look as we take a look at all this, and we can see what God's trying to tell us. And I thought about this. If we go over to, I'm going to go over to Daniel now. I want to go over to Daniel chapter 7. Just look at a few verses talking about these books. Now, before I read this, I want you to understand this. The Jews believe these three books, and by the way, if you want to find out more in-depth study on this, You can get my commentary or my book. It's really a book that I wrote about the prophetic calendar and the pictures of the Messiah. There's a lot written in here in that book for you to look at. So, but the Jews believe this. There's three books. They have the book of the righteous, and of course we know the book of the righteous today, and our understanding has to be what? The Lamb's book of life. Well, that book's available. That's where God wants everyone to be if they come to Yeshua. The second thing is called, the second book I should say, is called the book of remembrance, okay, or the intermediates, the people who have not truly, God knows them. He's called them from the foundation of the world. He knows them, but they have not come to Him, and so they have not made a decision, it says over in Joel chapter 3. That's the second book. And in the third book is called what? The book of the wicked. Those that are just not going to come, and God knows that. I call those vessels fit for destruction. But if we go over here to Daniel chapter 7, we'll see this a little bit. We'll look at one verse here. All right? Verse 10 of Daniel 7 says, "A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him." Who was this? God the Father. Verse before talks about the Ancient of Days. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Now, this is it. The judgment was set, okay? And the books were open. Notice it's plural. It says the books were open. So to me, that means there's got to be more than one book. So here he's talking about these great books. It's going to be open one day. And we know verse 10 here is a trumpet scripture. It's Rosh Hashanah, okay? And we can see this if we look at the scriptures really closely. Now, I'm going to take you over to Revelation chapter 20 for a moment, because we're talking about Teshuvah, about returning to the Lord. But remember, no one can come back to the Lord until they first make that step toward Him, right, Pastor Don? They have to be born again to be able to even think about that. So here they are. They're trying to get right with God, but we know they truly can't get right with God until they have Yeshua in their heart, and then they can, what, confess their sins, and He's going to take care of that with Him, and it'll be removed as far as the east is
from the west. So there is a set time.
There's a set time, right. When
these things are going to happen.
Now, if we look at Genesis, Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, look what this says. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them." For what? Judgment. We just read that over in Daniel, okay? Mm-hmm. This is at trumpets. "And judgment was given unto them." You and I will be there also at that time, if you're born again. "I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of the Jew of Jesus." Think about all the people over in the Middle East now that are being martyred and killed because of their belief in Jesus. Many of them have been beheaded. "And for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They reigned again with him." All right? So here we see this. Now, at the end of chapter 20, or near the end, now this is talking about after the 1,000-year kingdom's over. In verse 12 it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books," here we got, books were plural again, "were opened, and another book was opened," which is the third book, which is what? The book of life. So this is how we come up with this to understand this, but the Jews understood this before this book was ever written, the book of Revelation.
They understood it back in Daniel chapter 7.
They understood about the books that God has. And so here they are during this time. They're going to be down at the wall bobbing and weaving in their prayer time and their devotion to the God and all. You know, a lot of them really love God and all that. But, you know, they're not going to be able to hear from God until what? Until they come to Jesus. They're not going to really get the truth that He wants them to have. And so it tells us over in Lamentations, the book that Jeremiah wrote, talks about over there that if there was any kind of sin in their lives, well, God can't hear them at all. And so, first of all, there's only one that can remove our sins, and His name happens to be Yeshua, right,
Amen.
Pastor?
His blood.
He is the one.
His blood.
That's right. I'm going to go back to Jeremiah.
You know, Pastor Gene, you know, a lot of churches, they don't even really feel that the blood is that important.
That's right.
But the blood is important.
Whoa, sure is.
It's the blood of Yeshua, not the blood of any animals or anything else. It's the blood of Yeshua. And so, the enemy doesn't want you to talk about the blood. The devil doesn't want you to talk about the blood because that's the only way is that our sins are washed away is by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
That's what the Bible says. Without shedding of blood, there's no remission.
It's got
to be by the blood. So I took you back to Jeremiah where I was at to start with in chapter 3. Show you one verse there. Because Israel got in trouble a lot because of their sin, their idolatry, worshiping pagan gods and all that. And in chapter 3, verse 44 says this, that Jeremiah wrote this years ago. "Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayer should not what pass through because of their sin." Amen. So that's in verse 44 of Lamentations chapter 3. I said Jeremiah meant Lamentations.
Lamentations, where I started at.
Lamentations chapter 3, verse 44.
Amen.
"Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayers should not pass through. Well, back in that day, Yeshua hadn't come yet. So what was God asking his people to do? To walk in faith, to trust him, keep all of his commandments and those things, and what would happen? They would have a blessed life. He was going to bless them in their coming in, their going out, on their land, their children, everything, they would be blessed. But if not, what happened? The curse came, as it tells us over in Deuteronomy. He said over there, I set before you life and death. You choose. What do you want? You want life or you want death? And so at this time, what? They chose death and they went into a terrible time. But here they are, I'm thinking about today now. They've gone all these years, they have not accepted the Yeshua, the Messiah. Now, a lot of them have, but there's many more that have not, and we need to pray for them at this time during these 30 days of Elul, the time of Teshuvah, that during this time, during their prayer, that God will give them a visitation. Maybe he'll just appear before them. Maybe an angel will come. Maybe there'll be a bright light, or maybe a believer will come and say just the right words at the right time, that they would break their hearts and fall before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to ask you to allow me to come to you. I'm receiving your son who came and died for me for my sins, and I want Yeshua in my life. And when they did that, when they will do that, I should say, what? Their life will change like never before, and they'll be in the right place. And of course, now they do this every year, but they're doing it in a secular way. Basically, it's what it is. They know the scriptures and all that, but they look at it legalistically. You know, they're crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's, but see, their heart has not been changed yet. That's the key thing. And this is the key. So I want to do this, because we're talking about this. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 31 with me now for a moment. Jeremiah, remember, he wrote the book of Lamentations because of the anguish that he was in. But I want to go to Jeremiah chapter
31. And he prophesies of the things that are coming, and even the things that are happening even today.
That's
and
right.
What we see, what's happening in Israel. You know, he's called them to break up the fallow ground, right? Sow not
right.
among thorns. He says, circumcise yourself. He wants them to circumcise their hearts to the Lord. It's a circumcision of the heart.
Amen. Now, I'm going to take you to Jeremiah chapter 30. I want to show you something here real quick. Mm-hmm. This is interesting. Verse 4 says, and these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. It talks about the northern tribes and the southern tribes. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace, because judgment was coming with this time they were going to go through. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, like a woman delivering a child, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Now listen to this. Alas! For that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. Listen to this. I like the tail end. But he, who's this God, shall, or he, Israel, it's Israel, all right? But he, it means Israel, shall be saved, what? Out of it, the time of trouble. Isn't that incredible?
Mm.
And he says, and it shall come to pass, the next verse, in that day saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Referring to what? Jacob's trouble that was going to come in the future at the very end after all that's passed.
And these things are getting close. They're
getting
coming.
Close.
They're closer today. They're
sure
getting
are.
So close. What's happening
that's
in Israel?
Right.
Just watch the news.
That's right. Now, I'm in chapter 31 now, Jeremiah. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you. I'm going to start in verse 31.
And the enemy's all around them.
That's right.
All around them to destroy them.
Going on right now.
And where are we? Are we there to help? We need to be there to help.
In the spirit, especially praying, right?
In the
right?
spirit, and also in the natural. And
that's
we
right.
need to be there to help all these Christians that are being killed.
That's right. Now, we're going to read this, and I want you to keep in mind here, this is a prophetic word to the future, okay, after Jacob's trouble, when all this will happen, okay? Now, listen to this. Verse 31 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It's going to be a renewed covenant. That's what it's going to be. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant, listen to this, which my covenant they break. They broke it.
They broke it.
Although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. You know, all through the scriptures, God talks about Israel as his wife, okay? Now, you and I, we're a bride, okay? We're a spouse to Yeshua, okay? So, but God always talked about Israel as his wife. Praise God. One day we'll be a wife when we come out of that heavenly chamber. It tells us over Revelation chapter 19 over there. But now listen to verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Listen to this. After, this is key, after those days, saith the Lord. In other words, after Jacob's trouble, many are going to come to Yeshua. You can read over there. In Romans chapter 11, how God's going to fulfill his work with the Gentile church and all that, the ecclesia, and then he's going to turn to Israel. It says, after those days, at the end of Jacob's trouble, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So those that will be left at the end of Jacob's trouble that come to the Lord, they will be his people. Now listen, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. Hear this? That's when they're going to all know him at the end of all this trouble. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember what? Their sin no more. Now, verse 35, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. So this is a key verse. God is not done with his nation of Israel. Verse 37, thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Amen? But he's going to bring them back. Isn't that incredible? So this is an important time. Glory be to God. This is a very important time. And we see in chapter 32, because of Jeremiah declaring this, it tells us here, when the Babylonians came in, it says, for then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. Amen?
Amen.
And even King Zedekiah of Judah had shut him up, remember, because he was declaring, if you don't change, you don't turn back to Shuvah, things are going to happen. So this is an incredible time with Israel for these 30 days, and coming up to the time of Tishri 1, which is the time of trumpets. And so those days are so important. And so, see, the Jews believe this every year, and they go through all this. They believe with all their heart that the books will be opened on trumpets on Tishri 1. And they if they're not in the book of the righteous, see, they call it the book of the righteous, but it has to be the book of the Lamb of God, I mean, the Lamb's book. Well, they know that they're going to have 10 days from trumpets to get right with God before the Day of Atonement, or they're going to be sealed in that condition forever. That's the sad thing about it. And so, you know, I pray that during this time coming up, and won't be too far away now, that that's going to happen, you know, that they're going to begin to see Yeshua in a different light. And so here they are. They're going to be in great travail at this time, knowing what's planned in the future if they don't change. But if they come to Yeshua, they're going to be hid away. We talked about the book of Zephaniah. They're going to be hid away. We already talked about that book last week a little bit. Mm-hmm. They will be hid away during that time. And so they know that there's going to be a year at the end of Jacob's trouble that they've got to make this decision. If not, they're going to be put in the book of the wicked. But see, God wants them to all be put in the book of the righteous. Now, we've got a lot of people today. In Joel chapter 3 tells us this a little bit when we look at all this, that they're in the valley of decision. And so we got in verse chapter 3 of Joel, verse 14 says, multitudes in the valley of decision. This is those that God remembers them. They're the intermediates, but he wants them to make a decision so they won't be put in the book of the wicked. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Well, the Jews will have that time at the very end. And those that have not come to Yeshua, they will have those 10 days to get right with God. And the only way they can get right with Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is to accept Yeshua HaMashiach into their life. And that's the key thing with all of it. But I took you over here to Joel chapter 2. I want to show you something here about how important these days are. All right? If you read Joel chapter 2, verse 12 refers to a time that's called trumpets. Chapter 2, verse 12 and 13 talks about a time called trumpets, okay? All right? And then we go down to verse 15, which is, tells us, what, 10 days later, look what it says. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, and call a solemn assembly. Mm-hmm. So they're going to blow, this is Yom Kippur. Now listen to what it tells you. It tells you, explains it to you. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation. They'll be set apart. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, and even those that suck the breast, it tells us here, the babies. Now listen, let the bridegroom, who's the bridegroom? Huh? Who's the bridegroom? It's Yeshua. It's a pattern, picture of that. Go forth of his chamber. We're going to come out. And the bride, what? Out of her closet. Now listen to this. This is how the Jews understand this. Now listen to this, verse 17. I've heard a lot of things preached on this verse, but it's not really the truth. It's got to be what God says, knowing the Jewish roots and his appointed times. Now listen to this. On the Day of Atonement, let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach. that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? So this is talking about the Day of Atonement. Now, why would those priests be weeping between the porch and the altar? Now, we've mentioned this over the years. On Rosh Hashanah in Yeshua's day, all the gates in the temple were left wide open for 10 days. And there was, of course, there was guards on the gates. And it was a call to God. It's a call to God. We sing a song in church all the time, open the gates for the righteous. It was a call for the people that wanted to, that knew the Lord could come into the temple area. Those that didn't know could come back to, you know, teshuva and come back and all that. And so those gates are left open until the close of the Day of Atonement. Now, verse 15 in Joel 2 talks about blowing the trumpet. It's the shofar Haggadah that's blown on the close of the Day of Atonement, when the gates are beginning to be closed. And when those gates are closed, it's the end of the day. Everyone that hasn't made a decision at that particular time, in Israel and all, for Yeshua, what happens? Their fate is sealed, as we talked about a little bit ago. The fate is sealed on Yom Kippur. And then it says, let the priest, the minister of the Lord, weep. Why are they weeping? Because the gates are being closed, and they know there's thousands and thousands of people that have not come to the Lord, and they're going to be lost. And so that's why they're weeping, for no other reason, because they know it was a close, and it's a picture of what? And a pattern of the very last time of Jacob's trouble in the Bible that we see on the last year of Jacob's trouble. It's amazing when you think about it, right, Pastor Dell? It is.
It certainly is.
So there should be some fear and trembling in people over there, and that they don't know the Messiah, but they have to understand, first of all, what this is all about. I can remember several years ago, we had a Messianic rabbi come to our church, and he went to yeshiva and all that, and he finally realized he had a great experience with the Lord, and he came to Yeshua. And when we talked with him one afternoon when he was there and did a little teaching with us, he understood all this, all the big light all came on. He understood how this all fit in with Yeshua. It's all referring to what has to happen in the future. And so they have to come back to the Lord. Now, we know that the Old Testament saints never knew Yeshua, did they, Pastor Donna? So how do they come back? They'd have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. They would come back and say, Lord,
They
washed their heart. They said, Lord, I want to be right with you. And so they began to keep all the commandments and those things that God put in place. And so when they did that and they would repent, what happened? They would repent and turn around. That's when that teshuva came. They would repent, turn around. Well, then God, what? He forgave their sins, okay? And so they were able to walk with him. So when we get to the kingdom, when we come, there's going to be lots and lots of First Covenant people that walked with God righteously. Mm-hmm. They will be in the kingdom, even though they didn't know Yeshua, because they did things the way God told them to. Jeremiah will be there, the man we were just talking about. Jeremiah, he loved his people. He loved God, and he wanted them to turn around, but they wouldn't listen. Ezekiel had the same thing. We could go on. Joel had the same thing. All the prophets had the same heart. They wanted the people to return to God.
How many warnings did they have? God sent prophet after prophet after prophet to say basically the same thing.
Over and over again. That's right.
You know, God is saying the same thing over and over again. Return, you know, wash your heart, cleanse your heart, you know, break up the fallow ground. I like what Jeremiah, Jeremiah, you said, was he called the weeping prophet?
The weeping prophet.
I mean, he cried. He cried unto the Lord, and he cried for his people. And you know, he wasn't afraid to speak the word. And there's still prophets in the land today and preachers speaking the word of God. And I believe that, you know, they're still saying the same thing.
That's
because
right.
God is merciful, you know, and he wants us to, he wants his people to return. He doesn't want to see destruction on the land, you know, but you know, things happen. If there's not obedience, then there's always a price to pay. But Jeremiah said over here, where did I read that at? He says, in verse 4, he tells him, circumcise yourself to the Lord.
Where you at, chapter 31?
To the Lord. Verse 4 of Jeremiah, chapter 4.
Okay.
And he says, take away the foreskin of your heart. He's not talking about them being circumcised like a Jewish boy is on the eighth day. He's talking about the heart has to change. Mm-hmm. You know, cutting the skin, cutting the literal skin is not going to change a person's heart. It's not going to change the way they act and the way they do things and the way they live their life.
Sure.
It has to be a circumcised heart. And
Hallelujah.
That's the same with a Christian.
Absolutely.
It has to be a circumcised heart. Saying, I believe in Jesus, or saying, you know, I believe Jesus is God, and there's no change, that's not really changing your heart.
That's right.
Because if your heart is really changed, if you've really taken away the foreskin of your heart, then you're going to have a heart that's yielded to the Spirit of God, and you'll have the Holy Ghost, and you'll be grieved. The New Testament, we ought to go in the New Testament, it talks about not grieving the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Well, all through these prophets that we're talking about, you know, Jeremiah and Joel and all these people were all grieving the Spirit of God.
That's right.
And so, you know, it tells us over there, don't quench the Spirit, don't grieve the Spirit of God.
That's right.
But we're to yield to the Spirit of God. But see, they had such stony hearts. It says that they had stony hearts. And, you know, there's a lot of believers that have stony hearts, Pastor Gene.
Sure do.
And they won't yield to the Spirit of God.
Nope.
Because it's because of they don't want to die to self. And I think we're talking here on this radio program, we're talking mostly to believers.
Right.
Believers, whether they're Jews or they're Gentiles or whatever their background is, you know, Spanish, whatever. We're talking to people who have asked Jesus into
their
heart. Mostly. Now, there may be somebody listening in there and they're hearing these things. There may be a Juliet listening in. Wonderful. Praise God for that. But even if so, it's still all about the heart.
That's right.
It's all about the heart. Because it also says that they walked according to the imaginations of
their heart. That's right.
Of their what? Their stony heart.
That's right. What they wanted
Not
to
their
do.
Heart that's been circumcised unto God. So there's a lot of Christians that walk according to the imaginations of their evil heart.
The Bible
calls it an evil heart.
That's right.
So when you don't have a good heart, it's an evil heart.
That's right. It's a bad heart.
It's like we said, we can't have mixture.
That's right.
You know, you can't have good and bad. You got to get changed. You got to get renewed in the spirit of your mind. You got to get changed, and you got to have a heart circumcision.
That's right. Sure do.
Amen. So all these people are saying the same thing. They're all crying out. They're all telling the people to return. And this is the time of returning to Shuva. Return to the land.
That's right.
Return to the Lord. Get rid of those evil imaginations of your heart, those selfish desires and the things that keep you away. You know, it even says over here in Jeremiah chapter 3, it says, and he says, I will give you pastors according to my heart.
Amen.
God has given us pastors according to his heart. But then there's people out there preaching the word of God that's not according to God's heart. So you have to be able to discern.
God says
he's going to give pastors according to my heart, which shall what? Feed you with knowledge and understanding.
Hallelujah.
And that's what he wants. And it shall come to pass when ye be multiplied and increased in the land. See what's happening. Look at all the Jewish people in the natural that are going back to Israel. Look at all the people in the spiritual that are returning to the Lord, coming to the Lord, whether they be Jew or Gentile, a Muslim, from India, wherever, you know, Chinese. There are Christians being persecuted all over this world.
That's right.
Except here in the United States. And, well, we think we're being persecuted because somebody says something bad to us or we get offended. Well, you know what? We need to get rid of those things where we get offended in our mind. Because if we're getting offended in our mind, then, you know, our heart's not right.
You got it.
We need to love each other, and we need to get rid of these little foxes.
Things that offend you over nothing.
That bring division in the body of Christ. Well, why aren't we more united? We need to be more united, because if we were more united, and the devil knows that, if we're splintered and fractured, and that's not being united, then how can we have powerful intercession and prayer and moving in the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Because God wants us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We're to be filled with the Spirit and to move in the power of in God's power, not in man's thoughts or man's denomination or what man thinks. But, you know, if we go along, if we do what God says in his word, then we'll be united. And I think about, I've been reading over there in Acts about chapter 7 about Stephen. You know, Stephen lived a short life after he got
saved
and born again, and he walked with Jesus. But I'll tell you, his word is so powerful over there. No wonder they came against him and killed him like they did. He didn't hold back one thing.
Nope.
He told them exactly
the truth.
They were, and he told them exactly how they were living. And, you know, he was so strong, and they couldn't stand it, because he had such a powerful glory upon him that they could see that. They could see the Spirit of God upon
him.
And, you know, when he was... And he wasn't afraid to die for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he told them, I mean, you read that and he just tells them exactly what they're doing and their sin. And they just couldn't stand it.
That's right.
And they just killed him. But you know what? What a godly man. I think about Stephen that he just stood for God like nobody else.
He sure did.
I'm reading about in the New Testament. I just was so... It's just a short, chapter. I mean, well, it's not that short, but it's so powerful. It's just so powerful what it talks about when Stephen gave that
Great speech he gave, yeah.
Mostly to the Pharisees and to the priests and to those religious leaders.
That's right.
Because of what they were doing. And they crucified the Christ, you know, Jesus.
Right.
They didn't receive him.
He laid it on the line, didn't he?
He laid it on the line. Yeah. He did. He really knocked them down a bunch.
Now, I was thinking about this morning also, about the Jewish people at this time, during this time of Teshuvah. Over Hosea chapter 5, we talked about this a lot. Verse 15 says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. Well, Jesus returned to his place. This is a prophetic word about Yeshua. He returned to his place. He says, he's going to return. And he's going to return means he must have been there before. That they're going to acknowledge what? Their offense. Their offense at the time of Jesus, what? They rejected the Messiah, the Son of God. And it says they're going to seek my face in their affliction. Talks about Jacob's trouble. They will seek me early. Now, chapter 6, verse 1 is referring to the time of Jacob's trouble. Remember, God is speaking to Israel right here, not to the church, but to Israel. Come and let us return. Here's our teshuvah. Return in the Lord. For he hath torn, he will heal us, he has smitten, and he will bind us up. This is referring to Jacob's trouble. So he's reminding them, return back and think about the day when you rejected the Messiah, your people rejected the Messiah when he came. That was their offense in that day. Let's return to Yeshua. Let's receive him into our life, because without him we have no salvation. So they're saying, let us return to that point where we missed our day of visitation with the Lord. Let us return in our mind and our heart to that and say, believe and say, Jesus, Yeshua, you are my Messiah. And if they do that, what's going to happen? They're going to be saved. So this is very important. So a lot of the Jewish people in Yeshua's day got saved because they believed Yeshua, but a lot of them didn't. Okay, there was more that did. And so we see this example. And of course, verse 2 then tells you after 2 days, it's talking about at the end of Jacob's trouble. And the after 2 days means 2,000 years from the time that Yeshua died and went back to be with his father. He's going to revive them. How? By them accepting Yeshua in that day. It's coming up one day in the future. And then it says, in the third day, the beginning of the third millennial period from the time that Yeshua went back to be with his father, which is what? The kingdom of God. He will what? He's going to raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Talks about what? Resurrection. So I pray during these 30 days of Teshuvah that they're going to read these scriptures. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that they'll have their eyes and their hearts opened up to see this is all about them, their people in the past, and about Yeshua that came to save them from their sins. I pray, Lord, they'll read this and it's going to just break their hearts. And I thank you for that, Father God. And so this is an important time. So we all should continue to pray for Israel. And this is going to be a time of enlightenment. God's going to show them some things about the Messiah. They're so stiff-necked and they just believe that God could not have a son. Well, he did. It told us right here in Hosea 5:15 that he says, I will go and return. Talk about Yeshua. This is prophetic to Yeshua. I will go and return. He's going to go back to the place where he came from. Until what? They acknowledge their offense. So right now, I pray they'll realize that their forefathers all rejected Messiah. Has been taught year after year, century after century, and they still believe that lie, that God does not have a son. I pray their hearts will be broken and they'll see that Yeshua is their only hope. Without him, there is absolutely no salvation. And so, God, I pray that as we prepare to close on this program for your Jewish people. So this time that we're in, Teshuvah, is a very important time. It's during the month of Elul. So they realize this. You know, as we said, they got 30 days. They're going to try to get right with God. But the only way they're going to get right with God is if they come, return to Yeshua. All right? Come to him. So we're thanking you for that, Lord. And so I pray that. And if they just go through this month and do their legalistic things, it's not going to do one thing. And so, but one day, you know, they rehearse this every year on trumpets about the books being opened. They rehearse this every year. But one year, it will no longer be a rehearsal. It will be the real thing. Just like Passover was rehearsed for some 1,500 years when they came out of Egypt. But one day, it became the real thing when Yeshua came. So I pray this with Israel, that it's going to, before that last year of Jacob's trouble, that they're going to come. I pray that, Father God, they won't have to be concerned about going through all this time of trouble that's coming upon them.
Amen.
The earth.
Thank you, Lord.
They need to have their eyes open. So it tells in Zechariah, when he comes back, they're going to see him. And many of them are going to receive the Lord at that time when they see him come. In fact, I'm going to close with this. I'm going to go to Revelation chapter 1.
Thank you, Lord. Pastor
Don wants to add something to this. In Revelation chapter 1, it tells us this here. Hallelujah.
The Bible says they'll have visitations. Many people are having visitations even now. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for the Holy Ghost just to rain down from heaven, yes, and touch people's lives.
So Revelation 1:4 says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. Who's that? That's Yeshua. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. Amen.
Amen. It's all about him. When you read that about the seven spirits, I think about the menorah. You know, every Friday night we light the menorah.
Right.
To me, that's the
seven lights. Yeah.
That is what represents Israel more than anything is the menorah. Mm-hmm. And I think about the seven spirits of the spirits of God. Wow. Well, we're running out of time, Pastor Gene. Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we are here every Saturday, Lord willing, on this radio program called Raising the Standard. I hope you were blessed today. If you'd like to listen to this again, you can go on the WCNO.com, or you can give us a call. We'd be glad to send you out a CD. We have services here in Stuart, Florida, every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, and Friday night, we have Friday night Shabbat services, and that's at 7 p.m. And today, we have a DVD video
about
of
Israel,
and it's called, the series is called
Beyond all odds.
It's about miracles and things that happened in Israel and wars and recent things. You know, pictures, a wonderful video, DVD.
Yeah.
And so if you'd like to come out, just give us a call. We'll give you information on how to find us. We're right in a shopping center, Monterey Plaza, and right on Canner Highway in Stuart, Florida. The phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
That's good. So I just encourage all of you. This is the fourth day now of Teshuvah. Try to remember every day just to lift up Israel and what's going on. Just lift them up before for these 30 days.
And this is the month of Elul.
That's right, Elul, to make sure that God, that something great will happen. I hope it will just, I want to make sure, but it may not, but we can pray.
Thank you, Lord.
So we pray for Israel every single day. We thank God for them because Jesus said, without them, what? There'd be no salvation without the Jewish people.
Pray
because
for
Yeshua.
The peace. Yeah.
Salvation is of the Jews. That's what Jesus
said. That's right.
So as we close this program every week, we're on here because we love people. We want to see you're raised up to a new place to walk holy with him. So we just read about Jeremiah, how he was brokenhearted over how they lived. And so we want to be in that place with the Lord. One day we're going to hear a shout from heaven, aren't we?
Amen.
And we're going to be taken out here.
Running out of time.
So as we close, we tell you we love you to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. Amen.
And
what do you say,
Pastor? Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.